But the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. Then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now, as for it is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which people walk over without knowing it." One of the experts in the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your ancestors who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your ancestors did. They killed the prophets, and you build the tombs. Because of this, God, in his wisdom, said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and others they will persecute. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. Woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, help us to follow through on the faith that we have been given, not turning it to regulations, but to be continually seeking to change and grow in the faith and the love that you give us each and every day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So say you have invited some people over for dinner, maybe some friends. You have been working all day, and you got home, and you cleaned the house. You prepared and cooked the meal. You even put on your nice clothes, right? The doorbell rings. The first guests arrive. Opening the door, you greet them and you invite them in. At this point, what would someone have to do to insult you, the host? Okay? What would have to happen for somebody to insult you at this dinner party? So raise your hands. I'm going to come to you. You need to tell me what would be an insult to you as a host. Come on. Come on. What do you got? What do you got? You got one, Elaine? Come over here. Elaine's got her hand up. Tell me what an insult would be. Tell me what it is.
What stinks?
Oh, boy.
That's not what I want for dinner, yeah.
Immediately telling them that the food smells terrible. Go ahead. There you go.
What's this food like?
What's this food like? Yeah. What do you think, Molly?
This food is terrible.
Yeah. So the first thing that happens is that you insult the food. That's not good, right? You don't want to do that to your host, right? That's not nice. That's rude. What else? Who else has got? Yeah, come over here, Annette. Tell me what it is. What would be rude?
I thought you would clean before we came.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And you've been working all day, and you clean the house, and you're still insulting the house. All right, what else? What else would be rude to tell at a table fellowship? Yep. Polly, what?
My husband didn't come. He's home watching basketball.
Oh. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. Yeah, Lynn.
I've already eaten.
Oh, what?
See, that's enough to get you to look like this girl does on the View. Not right. Not right. Anything else that jumps out at y'all as rude and crude and is not right? Yeah, Roger's got one back here. Let's see what Roger's got for us. I can't wait for this one. What do you got, Roger?
What's your Wi-Fi code?
What's your Wi-Fi code? I need to be on the internet this entire party. I really don't want to talk to you. So,
I'm going to turn this off. Good talking, team. Good job. So I'm asking you about what makes a terrible dinner guest, because I want you to recognize that from our reading today from Luke, that Jesus is one of the worst table guests possible. All right? So you read the story. Pharisee goes out of his way to invite Jesus to his house, right? To come over. He probably got some flack from the other Pharisees because they're like, what are you doing inviting this dude to your table? Jesus shows up. He immediately insults his host by refusing to do the ritual wash before the meal. He did not wash, right? Talk about terrible, bad table manners. And the host thinking, okay, maybe Jesus just forgot, like your pastor forgot to take up the offering this morning, right? Sometimes you just forget. He goes very calmly, says, well, you know, you forgot to do the ritual wash that you're supposed to do, you know, and maybe you forgot. And Jesus goes, oh, no, I didn't. And now I'm going to start insulting you for 20 minutes. And he proceeds to launch into a string of insults. Woe to you, Pharisees! Hurling all these insults at the Pharisees, the host, and the Pharisees around the table, and then later the lawyers around the table. So he doesn't wash his hands, and he begins the meal by insulting the host and the other guests. At this point, if I am that Pharisee who invited Jesus to the table to come eat a meal with me, I'm throwing Jesus out. Enough is enough. Get out of here. Right? What this Pharisee missed, and it's something that I think oftentimes we miss this too, is that when we invite Jesus to the table, Jesus is never going to be a good guest. Y'all may have seen those little plaques you put up at your house where it says Jesus is the unseen guest at our table. You've seen those? Yeah? Jesus will never be a guest at your table. Because when Jesus gets the invite, Jesus is always the host. He is always going to take over at the table. Christians have this fantasy that we can simply fit Jesus around the table, around our lives. One chair is for family, another chair is for our job, maybe another chair for our hobbies. And all the while, we are at the head of the table, right? We're the captain of our table. And Jesus can squeeze in somewhere around that corner over here. We got some extra chairs in the closet. I'm thinking he could use one of those. Jesus doesn't roll that way, right? You can't just fit him in. It's either he's host or he's not there. And the Pharisees and the lawyers didn't realize that, what they were dealing with, but we know what we're dealing with. As Christians, we must prepare ourselves for what happens when Jesus takes over as host of our lives, right? Any of y'all seen that movie Captain Phillips? You know Tom Hanks, yeah? Yeah, you saw that? There's that scene, right, where Captain Phillips is confronting the Somali pirate, and the Somali pirate says, I'm the captain now. He goes, I'm the captain now. It was a famous Oscar line. And that's what's happening here. Jesus, they don't realize they're inviting Jesus to the table. He goes, I'm the captain now, and I'm going to take this over. This is my table, not your table. That's one of the things that's happening here, that these Pharisees had no clue about what would happen when they did that. So the Pharisees don't recognize it, but the insults of Jesus offer them, actually, I think, if you can phrase it the right way, you can see this as God's grace. Woe to you, Pharisees. It does not sound like God's grace, but it is. It's the kind of grace that opens your eyes to your own hypocrisy. It's the kind of grace that your own self-righteousness does not want to deal with, right? And Jesus is holding up a mirror to the Pharisees and the lawyers, revealing to them their warts and all. And it turns out the Pharisees and the lawyers didn't appreciate this very much. We find out at the end of Jesus' long string of woes to you, that Jesus walks outside and the Pharisees and the lawyers go, now we got to get them. And it tells us that they began to oppose Jesus fiercely and besieged him with questions, waiting to catch him in something that he might say. It would be hard for any of us to accept such a clear view of ourselves, to seek the change that is broken. And I think about that a lot because I talked about this on Thursday at my Lenten luncheon. But oftentimes when we are given a clear view, when someone shows us for the first time, reveals our hypocrisy to our face, our first response isn't to go, oh my gosh, you're so right. It's me, what about you? It's that turning around, it's the getting defensive. Right? It's that turning it back onto the other person, not willing to recognize your own things that are happening. And that happens a lot to all of us. We all get defensive when God's grace finally comes and we realize what's going on. Yet this is what woes are all about. The reformation of faith, we must realize that Jesus isn't some outsider here, right? We're told in Luke that Jesus dined with these Pharisees. Jesus worshiped with these Pharisees. In Luke, it was the Pharisees who tipped him off that Herod wanted to kill him. So he was tight with these guys. It wasn't like they were some unknown people. He knew them. He saw their hypocrisy. He saw how they treated them. He saw what they did with their wealth. And so Jesus here is not like lobbing bombs from the outside. Like, he doesn't know these people. He's just like throwing these truth bombs at them. He knows, he has a relationship with these fellas. And if he sounds a bit angry, he probably is, because this was a faith that Jesus was passionate about. One that he clearly was invested in, and Jesus wants to wake these guys up, hoping that their ears and their hearts are open to the criticism to do better, to follow through on the faith that you're practicing, right? Don't put your elbows on the table and tell your kids not to. This is not about the destruction of the Jewish faith, but the proper practicing of a true faith in the Lord God. And we all know what Jesus is talking about here. When religion becomes stale and rigid, when the good people of God care more about the rules than they do about the service. When faith loses its heart. When its leaders fail to practice what they preach. So you better believe that Jesus is a terrible guest at that table, right? You want Jesus to be a terrible guest at that table, because he needs to wake them up and tell them that this kind of brokenness cannot stand. It needs to be knocked out of its slump. Now, this is something churches go through all the time, right? Churches go through ebbs and flows of these times when they become rigid versus open. And we have gone through times like this in the life of this church, right? Time when this church resembled a pale shadow of its former self, when we were bogged down in conflict, when we were bogged down in hurt feelings. And when this happens, it's easy to fall into the trap of worshiping the false idols of the easy answer. All right? If we just do this one thing, everything else will be fine, right? If we can just get rid of this pastor or this program, everything's going to be just fine, Gray. Oh my gosh, right? But Jesus is telling us that an unexamined faith is not faith at all. So if we think that we're going to solve all of our problems with some easy answer, some easy solution, Jesus is saying, no, you need to take a deep, hard look inside yourselves. You need to examine your faith. You need to take stock in what has happened and how we got here. Instead of externalizing, you need to start internalizing. And you know this true, this is true as well, that without taking that hard, deep look, without some self-examination, that our faith without a doubt will go stale. It'll be uninspired. And when that happens, we're not going to invite people. We're not going to be excited about this church. We're not going to share the excitement that we feel about this church because we don't feel it. Because the heart's not there. And when that happens, we have to invite Jesus, the terrible guest, back to our table. We need to invite Jesus back to the table. Because Jesus is going to spark it. He's going to bring that grace that we need to hear, that hard grace, that difficult grace. And I ask you today that even when you think this church is going great, even when you are excited, even when you are sharing, I want you to do that, seeking that grace as well. Because it's the minute you rest on your laurels that things can quickly go stale and uninspired. Anne and I have done a lot of conversation about the life of a church. And they do this little bell curve, right? And they talk about how when a church starts, it comes down here and you're getting your energy ready. And it's moving up the line here, and there's programs and pastors and things happen, start happening. You get to the top with just the top of the thing where everything's just going. And then something happens where you're not able to refresh, and you start to go down the bell curve. And then you start losing all those things that made you excited and passionate. And one by one, they start to disappear. And then you get back down to, oh, I guess we're time to start over. And one of the things they tell you, church growth, church people who are looking for revitalization, is that the easiest place to revitalize isn't after you have made it when you're on the downslide. It's actually when you're at the top that you can keep refreshing and getting excited because the energy's there, the passion is there, and you can stay at the top of that bell curve. Because good things are happening. Excitement is happening. The good news is being shared. Passion is being shared. But when you get down here, the further you go down that bell curve, the harder it is to get back to the top, to get that energy back. So I ask you today, when you are feeling excited about this church, when you're feeling passionate about this church, this is when we need to continue to revitalize. We need to continue to push forward. We need to continue to invite Jesus back to this table. We need to shake things up and be reminded that we can't just rest on our laurels, that Jesus has something in store for us, that Jesus has some excitement to share. And that even though Jesus is a terrible table guest, that Jesus is saying really hard things to us, we need to listen and follow through. The Pharisees and the lawyers weren't able to hear these woes. They weren't able to hear this grace. They rejected the opportunity to see themselves. They rejected the opportunity to reform their faith. Let us not be like them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.